Oh, well, we were rocking away here in the virtual studio. So, welcome to the Hot Women Rock radio show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause. Woo! So, welcome and good morning if you're in America, good afternoon if you're in the UK and Europe, and good evening if you're in India. And it's going to be a great show today. My guest in the studio is Dion Johnson, who I'll be introducing very shortly. We've already had our first comment on Facebook, Dion, which is from Kay Newton saying, "This is going to be an awesome conversation." And it is absolutely going to be an awesome conversation. So remember, you can always join us live on the Talk Radio NYC Facebook page. You can put your questions there, put your comments. It'd be really great to hear from you. So, we always start our week with looking at what's in the media. But I'm just wondering, when second week of September now, how are you settling in back at work? How's it going for you? If you're commuting, how's that commute going? Yeah, we're all getting back into the flow of work again now. Some of us never had a break, to be honest. So, I'm looking forward to having some days off next week. I hope you're getting some time for some self-care. Anyway, meanwhile, back at the media, my first news report today comes from the University of Rochester, and it's about the memory changes of menopause. Now, next week, I'm going to be talking all about brain fog. If you've experienced brain fog, you know quite a bit about it. And memory issues is one of the things about brain fog. But what are the University of Rochester saying about it? They're saying a new study by the University Medical Center has identified four profiles of cognitive function that may help researchers understand why memory declines for some women and not others. So, yeah, some women, it's all okay. Other women can hardly remember what they went up the stairs for, although I think we all have a problem with that. This adds to the mounting evidence of the memory changes that can happen when menopause approaches and could lead to better guidance and treatment for patients experiencing menopause issues. So, any research that leads to better treatment, I think we can all welcome. So, Dr. Miriam Weber says if we understand what goes on cognitively for women during this time, we can help normalize the experience. Researchers found that women experiencing a strength profile, that is, a strength in either verbal learning and memory or attention and executive function, had fewer depressive symptoms and hot flushes, while those experiencing cognitive weakness reported more sleep disturbances and symptoms of depression. So, Dr. Weber's previous work found that some women approaching menopause experience declines in working memory, the ability to take in new information and manipulate it in their heads, and a woman's ability to keep and focus attention on a challenging task. But these declines were not directly linked to hormones, according to those studies. Well, I'd be really interested in what they're linked to. Rather than just saying what the normative experience is for everyone, we're sort of saying, can we see these different profiles? And then what are some of the things that are associated with each? Either risk for worse cognitive performance or resilience. But some are doing better than we might expect during a time when many people experience decline. So there's so little research into women's health that when I see these kind of research projects going on, I get really excited about it. Because it can lead to better treatment. So the next one made me laugh a bit, and it comes from Australia from the Brisbane Times. And the headline is, "That is not me. I am so Zen. Could Gen Y break the menopause taboo?" So when Sally Berger looks back at times when the demon had taken over her while she was going through perimenopause, she shakes her head. So, if you're not clear, perimenopause, the years leading up to menopause when your periods stop, when your hormones are in decline, and you can be experiencing symptoms. And she says, "You think there's something wrong with you." She recalls the time she just went for an unhelpful shop assistant yelling at the person until people around her were stopping, watching, and sniggling to themselves. Sniggling must be an Australian term, I think. It was horrifying, she says. That is not me. I'm so zen. I told myself if I exercise more and eat better, and maybe if I have more green smoothies, you know, like it'll all get better. I kind of related to this because I'm normally a pretty calm person, but there've been times during this menopause experience when my inner demon has come out and I've snapped at somebody and then thought, oh, what is going on? So Michelle Kennedy, founder and CEO of Peanut Menopause, a new app for women that launched in Australia, the UK, United States and Canada last Wednesday, said, I really hope it makes women feel not alone, not weird, not stigmatized, and able just to talk more openly about menopause. So this Peanut Menopause, it's a free app. It has chat rooms and live audio podcasts from experts. So if you're feeling a bit alone, that could be a good thing to have a look at and know that there are other women out there who are just the same as you and are going just as nuts as you are. Perhaps that's why it's called Peanut. Anyway, my next report comes from UK Today News, how the menopause turned us into superwomen. So this is women's stories about how they benefited positively from menopause. And the first woman saying, having been through menopause and emerged to find the sun still shining on the other side, I can assure you it's not the inescapable black hole I originally assumed. Good to know. Instead, equipped with the knowledge and the right tools, menopause can be an ultimately enriching passage, culminating in a more confident, happier life. That's what I believe. That's what I teach to my clients. That's what I teach to my groups. I think I'm probably healthier, happier, and fitter than I've ever been. This is what she's saying, but this is what I feel like as well. I know I'm bolder, more enterprising, and less insecure than before. And the evidence points to many women in their 50s becoming equally fearless, ditching bad relationships, embarking on new careers, and reinventing themselves both socially and biologically by adopting healthier lifestyles and emotional resilience for the second phase of their lives. Yes, yes, and yes, that is all good stuff. That's where we need to be. And so just don't believe everybody goes, oh, well, that's it. It's over. Menopause. Might as well just fade into the distance. No, this is when you can really find out who you are. And I think Dion's going to be telling us about that too. From The Independent, quite a worrying headline, really. Menopausal women forced to fork out thousands of pounds for treatment. Women going through menopause face medical bills amounting to thousands of pounds after being forced to pay for hormone replacement therapy, campaigners have warned. I was kind of shocked by this because, you know, we have the National Health Service. Why aren't these women getting these prescriptions? Well, they're having to pay for the prescriptions, whereas I think in other parts of the UK, like Wales and Scotland, you don't have to pay for the prescription. If you're taking a medication for 5 years, it can be a lot of money. It's as many as the 3.4 million women aged between 50 and 64 in the UK will be experiencing symptoms of the menopause. The Ginsberg Women's Health Board unveiled a campaign on Monday urging the government to provide women with life-changing treatment for free, noting hormone replacement therapy, which alleviates symptoms of the menopause, is free in Scotland and Wales. Yes, so they don't have to pay for their prescriptions. It comes after The Independent recently reported almost half of the women going through menopause said they were left with no option but to seek private health care. So not only if they're in the NHS are they paying for their prescriptions, some of them can't even get their doctors to prescribe it and they're ending up in the private healthcare system. So that is a real concern. My last news report comes from America and the North American Menopause Society, NAMS, with updates of guidance for managing osteoporosis in older women, so loss of bone density. Lifelong treatment is required to keep osteoporosis under control in postmenopausal women, and hormone therapy is often the best choice to prevent further bone loss, according to a new position statement released by the North American Menopause Society. So hormone treatment is one way. There are other things you can do as well. There's a lot to do with what you're eating, your food supplements, and your exercise. And even if you're taking hormone replacement therapy, it's a good idea to do those other things too. So this new statement, updated from 2010, covers the most current recommendation for assessment and management of osteoporosis in postmenopausal women. The aim is to provide clinicians with the information they need to identify candidates for osteoporosis drug and supplement therapy and help patients maintain optimal bone health. So if you remember one of my earlier broadcasts, we were talking to Leslie Fettes, who went through early menopause when she was only 36, and she went on to hormone therapy because of concerns for her bone health and heart health. So if you're going through early menopause, it can be a real issue. So whether or not a woman has a healthy lifestyle, osteoporosis progresses with advancing age unless it's treated and lifelong management is required. So yeah, really important to think about that. So before we go to the break, I just want to have a quick chat with Dion. Dion, is menopause, did your mother talk to you about menopause? That's what I want to know. Did you ever have that conversation?
So I saw things happening with my mum that, you know, really caught my attention. So she would have the hot flushes, like she was a hot babe when she was going through menopause. So it was really obvious. We didn't have much more conversation apart from how she was feeling. So I knew that it was a time when women would have these really weird things happen, and I'd watch them and we'd snigger, like as the kids in the house, we'd snigger at it all because it was really funny. I had an aunt who just couldn't keep her clothes on, so she would like really literally be taking her clothes off. And you know, I watched my older cousins go through it, so we saw it happening, but we didn't really have in-depth conversation about why it was happening or what. It felt to me like women in my family just needed to just deal with it, you know, just put up with it and get through it somehow.
Yeah. Well, I think this is very common. I'm not sure there are any cultures where women are talking about this freely. Anyway, so when we come back after break, I'm going to be talking to Dion about her experience, her epiphany around showing up for real. I'm sure we're going to talk about a lot of other topics as well. This is a really important conversation. So join us after the break and we're going to rock this out.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy. And I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Back to the Hot Women Rock radio show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause. So I hope you've noticed that wording. I'm both empowering women leaders and talking to empowering women leaders. And today that is particularly relevant where my guest in the studio is Dionne Johnson. So Dionne is also known as the womanologist. Of course I'm going to have her on the show. She's an ex-midwife, director in public services, where she pioneered, coordinated and led special services serving highly vulnerable and marginalized client groups. Now, if you're watching us on Facebook, you have probably already noticed that Dionne was born with a pronounced facial disfigurement. It's not a secret. And also, she's a woman of color. And I first met her at a networking event a few years ago. It wasn't our, I think it was either summer or the middle of winter when our networking groups were brought together by the woman who ran the network, Lizzie Phillips. And at those events, they were a bit of fun and we would dress up. There was always a fancy dress competition. I am quite a competitive person, so I always got dressed up. So Dionne, I can't remember whether I was in my advent calendar jumper or whether I was dressed in a hula skirt.
It was the advent calendar.
Now, you cannot go out and buy a jumper that has an advent calendar on it. I actually sat and sewed 24 little windows onto a jumper that each had something different in the background. Now you get how competitive I am. Anyway, meanwhile, back at Dionne. So Dionne was born with this facial disfigurement. Her story of unmasking is a powerful metaphor that's now captivating and inspiring leaders across the globe to show up, speak up, and shape things the hell up authentically within their sphere of influence. She's passionate about and uniquely skilled to help women rise above professional challenges and be more influential in their roles. And her new book, Influential Woman, A Fresh Approach to Tackling Inequality and Leading Change at Work, receives positive reviews from readers around the globe. There's lots more I could talk about her. I just want to talk to her. So Dionne, welcome. It's really lovely to see you.
I've got to tell you, I love your theme tune. It's really, really lovely.
We've got to rock, haven't we? We've just got to get the air guitars out and do a bit. So, Dionne, what was it like growing up with a facial disfigurement? How was that within the family and within the community?
So my family are brilliant. You know, my mum and dad, you know, they say, what disfigurement? You know, they didn't even see it. Like, what are you talking about? They didn't know. But it was pretty marked. So all my life, like right from early on, my appearance was a big deal to me and to my world. You know, I got looked at a lot. I spent a lot of time going in and out of hospital, having corrective surgery. So, yeah, like my appearance was always a thing as I was growing up. You know, I remember, you know, having a good talk to myself in the mirror one day and saying, you know, hey, you know, you look like, you know, you're not normal. You know, you don't look normal. You're not normal, you know, but at least you got you're smart. So just wear your smarts, you know, just use your mouth. You got a mouth, so you can use your mouth. And so I kind of knew I was different all my life. I knew I was different, but I wasn't a pushover. Like, I wasn't one to sort of like suffer fools or idiots gladly. You know, I didn't lie down and take ridicule very well. I was a fighter. So yeah. That was it.
Good to be a fighter. So then what took you into midwifery?
So when I was, you know, I grew up in West Country, Bristol. And so I love Bristol. I come from Bristol and my, you know, I still think about Bristol as my home. But I kind of woke up at 12 years old and knew that I was going to go to London. My mum and dad had divorced when I was quite young. My dad moved to London. And so I just woke up when I was 12 years old and needed to follow in that footstep. It just happened and it was just so sure. I knew that I was going to be a nurse because I come from a long line of nurses. I knew that I was going to train at King's College because I picked that hospital out when I looked at London. I thought, right, King's College. And I knew that I was going to be going to London. So, yeah, that's really where it started. I moved and I went to London, and that's where it all really began.
Yeah, and then you moved into being a director in public services and needing special services. Was that a natural progression for you?
No, it really wasn't natural. So that's when I started to wake up to all of this wonderful work that I'm doing with my clients now. So I went into midwifery. I went into nursing because I decided to when I was 12. And when I got fed up of nursing, like pretty soon on in nursing, I realized that I don't really like sick people.
I totally get that.
Yeah, like, you know, love them and everything, but I wasn't that great at being around sick people. So I knew that that wasn't something that I needed to do for a long time. I stick it out for about 5 years, but you know, I knew I needed something else. And midwifery seemed like the next best thing. So I went into midwifery because women are well when they're pregnant. Women are well when they're going through menopause. But anyway, so this is, you know, it was a natural stage of life. They weren't sick. They were doing the most womanly deed of all, having babies. I thought, yeah, this is for me. So I went into midwifery. And, you know, and after being in midwifery for a while and really doing some pioneering work and really loving it, really learning about the power of womanity, I got fed up. Fed up of carrying this pager. I got fed up of being called at 3 o'clock in the morning because people's waters had broken. I got fed up of I just didn't enjoy it anymore like I should. And everybody that's had a baby and had a relationship with a midwife knows that you can't do midwifery half-assed. You know, you need to be all the way in. You need to love it. You need to stay on top. You need to keep your education topped up. And I just lost enthusiasm for it. And so that's how I got stuck there. I got stuck in deep unfulfillment in midwifery and really frightened about what was next for me. I just didn't know who I was outside of healthcare. I didn't have any other frame of reference. I didn't know what I would do. I didn't know who I would be outside of this role. So it took me I did a lot of sidestepping, you know, like when you kind of shift role, same level, but you shift role over there, same level, but you shift role over here. I did a bit of a dance around healthcare and midwifery. And then I saw this role in local government and I thought, God, it seems to have my name on it. Let me go for it. And I really, it was scary. It challenged me. It stretched me. It was asking me to see myself differently, which is really powerful. Like it was really asking me, like I wanted to do the work, but I had these questions about whether I could be that level of leader. It was a really high level leadership role in local government, and that made it unnatural for me. I questioned whether that I could hack it at that level. So it took me ages to go when I got the job.
So was that your epiphany, or did your epiphany come later? I want to like jump into that.
I feel like my epiphany has been coming at every single stage of my life. You know, they say hindsight is 20/20, don't they? But do you know that when I got fed up of midwifery and I went to local government, I noticed that I was afraid to go for a higher level position. And I kind of like, thought about that, because I'd always thought about, I know I'm a great person, I know I'm smart, so it kind of took my breath away, this fear actually of being a higher level leader. So I noted that, and then when I got to local government, I actually hated it. I really didn't like the bureaucracy. I really wanted to be making difference like I was making in midwifery, but it just seemed like there was all this red tape, all of this tribal nodding, all of this, all of these barriers to really making things better for people. And I was all about making things better for people. And so I just didn't like it there. And again, I found these thoughts happening, fear, unsure of my ability, like, you know, not really speaking up, not really calling things out, not really maximizing my position, you know, in that role. Like, it was a very powerful role. I had a big budget. I had a big team. I could have utilized that role to make difference for the people that I cared about, but I didn't know how. And I started to see that very loud, and I couldn't hack it. I after 4 years in that role, I left, and without a forward plan. Without a forward plan. And that's when I really like put my hands up in the air, like, what's my life about? You know, like, what am I supposed to be doing with myself? And I am an accidental entrepreneur, I say. And it's that entrepreneurial journey that really causes you to think about who you are, think yeah. about what you're here to do, think about how you show up. Like, the rubber really hit the road when I had to sort of generate my own pay, you know, like yeah. the next month. And so that's how it all really started.
So it's really different, isn't it? Because, you know, I became an entrepreneur at 54. And yeah, suddenly you've really got to think about who you are, who you're showing up as, how people are perceiving you, and
yeah.
what you want to do for the world. And I think a lot of women get that at this midlife stage, when their bodies are changing, their hormones are changing, the world around them is changing in terms of their roles, children, partners, work. And so many women like hold themselves back because they're not sure, in yeah. a way that most men, I can't generalize too much, yeah. most men we'll go into something thinking, oh, well, I'll give it a go. I'll see how it is. Yeah. Whereas women will stop and go, but can I do it? I'd better yeah. not have a go. So yeah. we have a very different approach to these things. That section of the show went so quickly, Dion. I knew it would. And when we come back, I know. So when we come back, we'll be talking more about what this means for other women, how you can show up authentically as yourself, as a strong leader. Join us again after the break.
Howdy, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a cannabis enthusiast, a cannabis professional, or interested in entering the cannabis space? I'm Johnny Tsunami, and this is Planet Baco Lolo, a less taboo view. On our show, we will discuss the cannabis world through the perspective of various cannabis professionals. Tune in every Thursday evening, Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m., Talk Radio NYC, Planet Baco Lolo, a less taboo view.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome Welcome back to the third section of the Hot Women Rock radio show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause. And if you're not watching us on Facebook, you're missing out because we're rocking out the breaks here. So, Dion, back at your story, you've been a midwife, you've worked in the public sector in local authority. What was the next step for you?
So I went in as an accidental entrepreneur. I fell into entrepreneurship after 6 months of, you know, wondering why I'd left my job. I'd made a mistake. What have I done? You know, and I decided that I was going to really try and make a go of this thing. I realized that what I want to do is help people find out where they are and where they want to get to and then support that journey. That's what I knew. And so I just started knocking on doors and really establishing myself as a self-employed freelancer consultant, you know, and that went on. I did all right, you know, set myself up, started to do through process of elimination, just really working through the client groups, found out that actually it was my love for women that was still calling me. And so I began to serve women as a coach, set up my coaching consultancy, and it was all good, except that around the 2008 mark, I started to get like this itch, you know, like, oh, I don't know, I feel like I'm doing okay, you know, life looks good. I had a social media presence back then. Facebook was kind of new, you know, started to do the social business thing and it looks good, but I didn't feel like I was doing as good as it looked, you know. I felt like there was much more. I felt like I wanted to make a bigger difference. And like there was a turmoil, conflict inside of me. I didn't know why I couldn't access greater results. I wanted to do more. And then my aunt died, and through a whole random set of events, I found myself, you know, with my hands up in the air, crying out to God, saying, I'm not happy. Something's hurting me. I want more. And what came next was this life-transforming conversation. I say with God, other people say, you know, higher self, universe. I say, I had this conversation with God, and the conversation was really, like, I'd never asked myself some of these questions that was coming at me right now. And it was like, why are you hiding, Dion? When are you going to show up for real?
Ooh,
when are you going to let people see the real you? Now, this was very, there was a context for this conversation, you see. I was born with a facial disfigurement, like you said earlier on. And when I was 4 years old, as part of that corrective surgery process, I'd been wearing an artificial eye and dark glasses. So this artificial eye was like a plastic shell painted to look like my good eye, and it would slip over my disfigured eye, and then I'd wear these big dark glasses. And I like to call it nowadays, that was the beginning of my life behind the mask, you know. Mm-hmm. I learned that because there was something not normal about me or not right about me, that I needed to put that away, like keep it away from view, like hide it, mask it, cover it up. And I didn't know back then, but what I see in hindsight is how that message kind of permeated how I think about myself in general, like the things that aren't normal, the things that don't look like you, the things that aren't appreciated or applauded, like those things, you put them away, you try and cover them up, you try and, you know, hide them. And so I just became this master hider. Without knowing it, really. And when I was having this conversation with God, saying like, why aren't you showing up for real? I thought they were stupid questions, to be fair. I just thought, well, you know, look at me, look at my face. How can I let people see the real me? How can I show up for real? I just didn't think it made any sense. I thought, I heard myself thinking out loud that people would be repulsed by me if they saw the real, if my real face. And of course, that became a really powerful metaphor, because in that conversation was when I put my hands up in the air and made a decision, I'm going to learn how to show up for real. Right, back then I was thinking about how I was going to let people see my real face, not wear the artificial eye, not wear the dark glasses. But of course, it turned into something way more profound than that. It was about finding out who I was, all of me, and what I thought and what I had to say and what I wanted was here to do, and let that be seen in the world. Now, that was a challenge. I found out in 2009 that really, that decision to show up for real, I didn't know what that meant in its full entirety. I didn't know who I was. I'd gotten used to masking on all kinds of levels. I got used to showing up as her over here and her over there and try to be who they said I need to be and try to fit in with that group and try to be like that with over there. So I was just I was living my life disconnected from any form of conviction about who I really am. And I thought, and that was when it decided, I decided that that was going to have to change. And it's been an amazing journey.
And how do you translate that into your work with women? Because I know that as women, we do wear different masks.
Yeah.
And how powerful it is when we're just ourselves, when we, and I think for a lot of women, once they get past menopause, there's much more of, do you know, I don't care what you think anymore. This is who I am. And how powerful that is, how much energy there is to that. So how does that come into your work now?
But after a couple of years, it was a very deep, dark, painful process for me. I had to come into contact with how I really felt about myself. You know, the kind of things that the way that I saw my self-perception and my sense of identity were really flawed, just like a lot of people's. And so it took me a couple of years after learning to show up without my face covered up. And I was well into the process of working out how to show up with all of me uncovered. And I began to share it on social media. I began to tell my story in groups that I belonged to. And that's when the floodgates opened, Pat. So I told my story. I remember making this video about what had happened, you know, my journey. And then I started to get mail from all around the world, women all around the world saying, hey, Dion, I might not be black. I might not have a facial disfigurement. You know, I might not have scars, but I know what it is to be hiding. I know what it is to be playing small. I know what it is to not be showing up for real. I know what it is to not be speaking up for real. I know what it is to be hiding aspects of myself in my life and in my work. And wow, I begin to tell them my story. They begin to tell me their story. And we begin to learn that masking isn't about what you look like. Masking is about is a mindset that compels you to believe that you're not enough, or you're not appropriate, or you're not acceptable, or you're not something that, and even unconsciously, sometimes we just don't even know we're doing it, but we're masking who we really are and trying to be who they want us to be, demand us to be, call us to be. And it's exhausting.
It is keeping that facade up is, you know, your brain's got to be working on it all the time. And how can you be a powerful leader when you're not showing people who you are?
Well, that's the point. The point is that when you, even unconsciously, when you're filtering what you say and filtering how you show up and trying to be like this and working to manage their expectations of you and what they think of you, and that's the preoccupation of so many women that I work with right now who are in senior leadership positions, like I was in my directorship, and head full of doubt, head full of second guessing, confidence being knocked, you know, identity crisis, self-perception flawed, all of that. And I say to my clients, you know, if your head is full of that, guess what your head's not full of? Those people who you're in position to serve, those people who are suffering, you know, those people who need you to show up fully in your role and speak up fully in your role and shake things the hell up fully in your role. You know, that's where I begin to see that my desire for a better world, that what I had gone through, what I'd been learning about the unmasking journey, was actually my gift to the world, because I could help these women who were seated at the table like I was, but not really speaking up, not really showing up for real. I could get them to understand and unmask and show up fully and bring their most powerful self to work. So now that's what I do, is I help them to step out of their heads, you know, and really take a good look at who they're being, really start to begin to think about what authenticity means for them, and really step back into their innate power, the kind of power that I learned when I was back in that labor room watching womanity, thinking, wow, women are powerful. Women are great.
I mean, women bringing life into the world. Before I had a baby, I could see those kind of programs on TV and think, okay. And now I can't watch something like that without crying, because it's just that moment of somebody bringing a life into the world. How powerful is that? It's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, I think that authentically, women are have this deep ability to bring new life. Not just birthing is a powerful metaphor, I think, for leadership. And I think that we have this power to bring new life, to expand, to see things, to know things, to feel things that are really relevant now that we want to change our world in the leadership perspective. And that's my mission, is unmasking womanity, I say. Unmasking womanity in senior leadership, because I think that's the answer to helping the marketplace build back better than before post-pandemic.
Yeah, and this role modeling that you do, because nobody can say you don't know how it feels. And you know, I mean, it's one of the reasons that I specialize in menopause, is to say, well, you could listen to a guy telling you about this.
Yeah,
I've been there. I've done it. I've been in the workplace where it can get really tough, surrounded by men, going through all this, commuting, you know, getting a son off to university, dealing with an older mother. Yeah. When I listen to everything that my clients are doing, these women are phenomenal. And sometimes they're beating themselves up. I'm not doing enough. You know, I'm not succeeding enough. Oh, yeah. I'm working in quite a high pressured environment, and I'm looking after my young son, and I'm homeschooling, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But if only I could do more. Oh, my goodness. Just see what you're doing.
I think that that's not by accident. You know, if you think about the history of us collectively as women, you know, we've been treated as chattel, we've been burned at the stake, we've been chastised, we've been silenced, we've been scrutinized, we've been abused, we've been raped, and you know, there's a long history of women being treated as second-class citizens. Yeah. And part of my work is around that healing. I had to go through this whole healing. I'm a black woman. I'm a black woman with a funny face, and I'm a hot for Jesus Christian in a religion phobic world, you know, all of these things about me. I had been receiving messages my whole life.
I've got to say, you're so passionate, and yet we've got to go to the break, so keep hold of that passion, bring it back after the break, and we'll give some top tips to women on how they can unmask. We'll see you again after the break.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Do you feel uninformed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 5, 8 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the last section of Hot Women Rock Radio Show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause. You can see we're on a mission to empower women leaders at menopause, and Dion's story is so powerful and she has got so much to share with us. I think we might have to have her back again, but anyway, and I just want to acknowledge that before the show started, Dion said that she wasn't feeling 100%, so I'm so grateful that she's shown up and she is rocking this show with everything that she has to tell us. So thank you so much, Dion. You know, I'm going to ask you, what can we give to women? What can they do to start unmasking? Give us your top tips, and you haven't got long to do it.
I think that what we need to do is hear the call to unmask, have a reason to unmask. You know, if you're happy wearing all those masks and, you know, being this person and that person, then go for it. But I know it's exhausting. So if you're feeling the call, if you're everywhere you go, you see the signs that this is not sustainable, then the first thing you have to do is say yes. You say yes to the call. What I did when I realized that I was being asked to unmask my face was I got help. So it was really powerful to get help. I got a counselor and I got a coach. I really believe in talk therapy. I really believe in getting your support network. Women are traditionally really challenged with asking for help. Like we just don't like to ask for help. But, you know, This journey is not for the faint-hearted, and it's not to be done alone. We really need to think about our support network. And the third thing that I did was I devised a plan and started working it out. Like, I looked at where I wasn't showing up. It was really easy because I started with my face. But even after that, when I saw in relationships certain relationships where I wasn't showing up, you know, certain places where I wasn't being myself, I just made the plan about how I was going to start to show people who I was. And it had everything to do with me understanding who I was first. So I begin to study me. I begin to look for the clues about what my life really meant. It was a spiritual journey. It was a relationship journey. I asked people to tell me what they think of me. I sat down and journaled about what I think about myself and what my life was supposed to be about. I started to dream, use my imagination, think about who I was becoming. Like, you know how when you fall in love with someone or you really fancy that guy, how you just really ask all the questions. You're up to 2 o'clock in the morning going like, what's your favourite colour then? You know, what's your favourite food? Like, I feel like we need to get curious about who we are. You know, I feel like we need to start to take inventory and pull the layers back and take the mask off and go, hey, who is that woman behind there? Yeah. Like, I can't tell you how many people I ask that question and they don't know, you know? Just don't know.
Do you know this? I belong to an organization called the Evolutionary Business Council, which is great, and it's a network of thought leaders supporting and encouraging each other. And there's a woman in that called Valerie Shepherd, and she does a lot of work with people around all sorts of issues about their happiness, their resilience. And she's been running a course for the EBC on understanding unconscious bias, unconscious racial bias. And she has this powerful question: who are you being when you think you're being you? Who are you being when you think you're being you? I'm showing up as myself. Oh, let me have a think. Is that who I really am? And that is really pulling the masks away. And you know, you've said it's not a quick process, and it can hurt.
Yeah, it can really, like, for me, it was really, I just begin to see how I was doctoring really unconsciously everywhere I showed up, trying to fit in there, trying to blend in there, trying to you know, live up to their expectations over there, trying to be somebody. I just lost touch with who I was, like so many of us. So I feel like we just need to really take time to get to know ourselves. And then we need to start showing up. Yeah. We need to, you know, I love the pause where you're about to deny your need, or you're about to deny your truest conviction, or you're about to deny what it is that you really want to say in that moment, and pause and get yourself centered and then deliver it, say it. Now, yeah, there's work to do around this. I know that a lot of people will think about authenticity, and it's all about giving people a piece of your mind, you know, telling people where it's at, okay, giving them, you know, really no regard for respect or honour. In my teaching, honour is a huge deal. Respect is a huge deal. It's one of the seven habits in my book, because it's not about just giving people a piece of your mind, but it is about giving people a piece of your mind. It is about being respectful and loving and sensitive and compassionately deciding not to back down, deciding not to cower away, to mask or to hide, but to start showing up, to start voicing your opinion, to start taking the floor, taking up room in conversations, in meetings. This is really powerful stuff.
Yeah, and sometimes when you're in that senior leadership position, you're going to be sitting in rooms full of people, and you can, at that moment when you're asked for your opinion and you might feel your heart thumping and you really want to say the thing, and then you hold back from the thing because you're worried what people will think. And actually, you're there for your contribution. You're not there to agree with everybody else. You're there to be that person who can bring something different to that discussion.
You know, and we know that, right? But like I said earlier on, the hold back, the reticence, the challenge and struggle to really be at ease with speaking up is historic.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not random. It's not even wrong. It's just that we've had this history that we need to heal from. I say we need to heal from, develop new beliefs around, you know, that's what the work is. The work of trying to get to know who you really are is about healing. It's about getting our head straight about who we really are. And it's about developing our message too. Because sometimes people don't show up because they aren't clear about what they want to say. And that's a whole other thing as well. It's like getting clear about what it is that you're here for, what it is that you want to see accomplished, what it is that you want to say in that situation. You know, it's really important.
Okay, we've only got 3 minutes and I want to tell people how to connect with you. First of all, tell us again the name of your book.
It's called Influential Woman. I don't know if you can see it just there at the back there. It's called Influential Woman, A Fresh Approach to Challenging Inequality and Leading Change at Work.
Okay, and if people watching are like totally inspired and want to connect with you, how do they do that?
Well, my email is connect@dionjohnson.com. That's nice and easy. And you can always come and hang out with me at LinkedIn. That's where I hang out in social media land every day. So I'm over on LinkedIn, Dion Johnson, the womanologist.
Yes, easy to find there. And I think you have a gift for us as well, for our listeners.
Yeah, so the link, I'll get the link to you somehow. But
I will post it in Facebook and everywhere.
Right. I did this mini series on three elements for women who are doing this big work, needing to show up more powerfully. It's very simple to watch, very short and easy. You can digest it all at once or take it bit by bit, and the link should be somewhere.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. So thank you so much, Dion. There's so much we could have talked about. It's absolutely brilliant. You're such an inspiration. And I hope women will think about how they're showing up and what they need to do in order to be really powerful and show up powerfully. So I'll be posting those links up. Thank you again. I know you didn't feel altogether well, but nobody would have guessed if I hadn't have told them. So stay tuned to talkradio.nyc, because the next program up is another wonderful Evolutionary Business Council member, the Reverend Dr. Tara Lynn, Dr. TLC, with her Dismantle Racism program, and which is so important. Thank you, as always, to my producer in the studio today, Kyle. Next week, I'm talking about brain fog. If you've been affected by brain fog, I'll be giving you my top tips on brain fog. If you've missed any of our other programs, go to talkradio.nyc. Have a brilliant week, and I will see you next Thursday. Take care, everybody.
NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Good morning.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Inning. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.